guys saw that our series is called 10-4, right? So if they put up the slide, it's called our 10-4 prayer series. And Stu and I were going back and forth trying to come up with a name. And as we kind of locked in on it, I started having a flashback. Actually, I blame some of this on Brent Smith, because if you ever talk to Brent Smith, you'll say something to him and he'll go 10-4, right? And it made me remember a time when I was in high school. When I was in high school, my first car that I owned, and they're going to put it up on the screen here, was a 1987 Aerostar van. Okay, so my parents gave me their minivan, right? And it wasn't cool enough for me to just have it was a maroon minivan. So my friends and I, we took blue spray paint, we spray painted it, and then we made our own flames on the side. Aren't those hecka tight? But then to make it better, we ripped out the carpet out of my car and put AstroTurf in the bottom, and we put battery-operated Christmas lights on the inside roof. So I had an awesome car, actually. Also, because the shocks were totally shot, I could go up to a stoplight and just pump the brakes, and my car would bounce like those Hoopty cars. And so I loved it, because I'd pull up, and I'd just be pumping the brakes, and my car would be bouncing, and my, like, no sound system would be like... But the coolest thing about my car, and you can't see it in this picture, is that me and my friend Chad Brockart and my friend Andrew Doherty, we all had CB radios in our car. Now, this was the day before most people had cell phones. They had cell phones, but they were still expensive. Not a lot of people had them, and especially not a lot of high schoolers had them. So we put CB radios in our cars once we got our licenses because we wanted to be in touch with each other. So Chad lived in Orangevale. I lived in Citrus Heights, and Andrew lived in Orangevale. Chad had a white Ford truck, and his was called the White Gorilla. That was his call sign. Andrew had a Mazda RX-7, which is like a cool car, and his was called Red Rover or something like that. And mine, because of what it was painted like, was called the Blue Flame. And so, which if you're a guy, that has extra power. So anyways, the coolest thing about the CB radios, you guys, is again, I want you to put yourself in the mentality before cell phones, okay? This was the time where it wasn't easy to contact people. This is even kind of pre, like internet was going on and you could do like chat online, but you didn't have that like easily access, you know? And so CB radios were the ways that me and my friends, we had direct communication with each other. And what was cool is that you were doing that while you were in motion, right? It wasn't that I would like go out and sit in my car and go, hey Chad, do you copy? You know, I would be driving somewhere and I'd be like, Chad, are you out there? Come back, right? And I'd be saying stuff. And then every once in a while you'd hear Chad go, you're 10-4, where are you? What's your 20? You know, and we would start talking to each other. And it was that whole thing of, it made us feel like we were truckers, even though we weren't. I was a vanner. And, but it was this whole thing, you guys, about it let us communicate with each other from across town, and we would have all these whole conversations and dialogues. I remember talking to Chad about the first girl I was interested in over the CB radio. I remember Chad telling me about his grandma dying for the first time over the CB radio. I remember Andrew Doherty getting in his first car accident and contacting us on the CB radio because we happened to all be going to the same place. So there was a lot of that happened. Tragedy, fun stuff, you know, joking around, that would happen on a CB radio. And if you know anything about CB radios or really any radios, there's terms and codes that you use to communicate with each other, right? That's where the 10-4 thing comes from, right? And there's a lot of different ones. If you go on and look up trucker terms, oh man, there's so many funny ones. But they have 10-20 often meant like, hey, what's your 20? What's your location, right? They would say things to each other. 10-100 meant, hey, I'm going out to the restroom. I just thought that was funny. You're like, hey, I'm going on a 10-100. Yeah, 10-4. We don't want to know anymore. You know, like, they would have all these things that they would talk about. But the two most important ones that had to do with CB radio communication was 10-4 and come back, right? 10-4 always meant this aspect of you heard the message, you received it, and you agree. Or you heard it, you're acknowledging that you heard it. Come back was this idea that you wanted them to respond in some way. So if you said something, you didn't want to just say it and then wait, not knowing if they were there, you would say, come back. Or they would say, sometimes say, come back, old buddy, right? And they would say it with that slang, come back, old buddy. A big beard, beer stain on your shirt. So how do you have a, never mind. So the reason why I mentioned those two terms, you guys, is because 10-4 and come back to me are terms that transfers so easy to what we're talking about when we talk about prayer and talking with God. Because one of the things that we would love to hear from God, and I know a lot of you guys, a lot of things that we would love to hear from God is we would love to say to God, come back, right? I know a lot of us, we pray and we pray and we pray and we feel like and I'm not getting a response. And so we have this aspect of saying, God, come back. Please respond. And then there's this other side where God often is going, hey, I'm communicating to you. Can I get a 10-4? Are you hearing my message? Right? And so you have this aspect of hearing and wanting to hear that goes on in CB radios. And see, one of the things I've been learning, you guys, is that it's a great thing to preach. It's a great thing to believe. It's a great thing to obey. It's a great thing to serve. It's a great thing to love, even if we do all those very imperfectly. But in every act, it's prayer that brings us into the closest relationship with God. And so hearing and wanting to be heard are two of the most important questions that you could ever ask about what goes on between you and the Lord, right? Because if you guys have not heard me say it before, if there is no communication, there is no relationship, right? It's a stark reality, and I hate having to say it because it slaps me in the face too. If there's no communication with God, there's no relationship. So we want to hear 10-4. We want to say 10-4. We want to say, come back. So what I want to talk to you guys about first is I want to talk to you about four elements of prayer that need to re-rack what prayer has been to you and help you see how this image of 10-4 is actually a really good image. And so I'm going to talk to you guys really quickly about these four points, and then we're going to talk about one certain point of another four points, and that's what we're going to be going through the next 5 weeks. Now, this first thing I want you guys to understand is this reality that prayer is not a one-act move. Prayer is not a radio broadcast. It's not a megaphone. Prayer very much is communication. It's like radios. It's supposed to be back and forth. It's supposed to be not just us talking, God talks too. And I know that a lot of us, when we hear about prayer, or when we learn about prayer as a child, or we learn about prayer growing up, we're not told often that God is supposed to get a chance to talk back on the radio. We say our prayers at dinner, and how many of you guys wait after you say your prayer at a meal to wait to see if God responds? Anyone ever tried that? How long do you wait before your food gets cold? When you pray before you go to bed, if that's the time that you pray, do you pray and then wait for an hour? See, these are things that we're not taught what to do. We often think that prayer is, hey, God, do you hear me? Blah, 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 blah. My grandma doesn't feel good. Blah, 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 blah. This girl is mean, really mean to me. And I'm a little guy. And, so we sit there and we say all this stuff on a megaphone and we go, okay, done. Out. And God's going, wait, come back. Come back. I want to talk to you here. I want to say more. And so I want you guys to understand this aspect. And it's really four points that you need to understand about communication with God. The first one is, we speak, God listens. God speaks, we listen. It's this circle. A communication, a dialogue with God is a time where you do speak to God, but then the best part about you speaking to God is the fact that God hears you. That should blow you away. That should be one of the things that drives you to pray, simply by the fact that you know that God is listening. Whether or not it feels like you're aware that God responds, the fact that God hears you should get you really stoked. So we speak, God listens. But then there's this other half. God speaks. We listen. And a lot of us go, no, I don't feel like God speaks. I never hear him. Well, God speaks. The hard part is that we have a hard time hearing and we have a hard time listening. And that's a thing that I can even say that is something that I've struggled with. In the world of truckers, somebody that stays on the radio and keeps talking and never lets other people respond is called a ratchet jaw. Right? I thought that term was cool. And it was the idea of, and I know what I mean, this feels like, because I used some ratchets to take these things down just yesterday. You know how ratchets are the things that go and you like can turn it and go back? A ratchet jaw is somebody that you just keep spinning it and it never like resets itself, right? So it's just like, and they're going, somebody that just keeps talking is a ratchet jaw. There's somebody that will never get a chance to hear the response. They never get a chance to say 10-4. They never get a chance to say, the other people don't ever get a chance to say, wait, you know, we want to come back, we want to talk. And see, part of it, you guys, is because we're so impatient, we're so demanding, we're so unsubmissive, that it's hard for us to watch and wait to what will happen. And I don't say these things so that I go, hey, you have to figure this out because I have it figured out. One of the things I did today, because this has been, you know, wrestling in my mind as we're walking into the series, is on my drive here today, I had 30 minutes, turned everything off in my car, and then I just said, God, I'm going to sit here, and I'm just going to try to be silent and try to be still while I hear for you. And guys, just like all of us experience, that next 30 minutes was torment for me. I kept trying to reach for the radio and then like slapping my own hand, which is very unsafe to do when you're driving because then your hands are off the wheel and people are like, why is that guy hitting himself? So I'm doing that, didn't turn the radio on until the last 5 minutes, and then I put it on classical music because I'm like, that won't distract me. And this has my name in it because it was the Bach flute that was like came on, and I was like, that's me, that's awesome. So I put it on, you guys, and for 30 minutes, man, my mind started thinking about work. My mind started thinking about church stuff. My mind went in all those hundred and thousand of places that I'm sitting there going, God, I'm trying to take 30 minutes to try to hear you, exactly the stuff we're talking about, and yet it's hard. And part of it was me having to get into the spot, and it took 30 minutes to get submitted to God. And you guys know what the thing was that finally got my attention for my last 5 minutes? Is I got up to the turnoff by the Galleria that would get you on the 65 freeway. And as I sat there waiting at the light, and the light was taking an incredibly long time, impatient, I looked down at my thing, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but you know, when you're bored, you just start doing random things. I started looking at the numbers on my speedometer, you know, and just 120, 100, 80, 60, 40, 20, 0. And I'm looking at it, and as I'm looking at it, I just felt like God went, you need to slow down all the way to zero if you want me to speak and for you to hear. And I'm like, why couldn't you have said that 30 minutes ago, you know? But that was the thing of God going, no, like, you need to understand that I want to speak to you, but you need to be able to hear me. You need to be able to be patient enough and quiet enough to hear me. And so, you guys, there's this lesson of understanding that we need to listen. But then, like I was saying before, you guys, what matters is not the strength of our prayers or the fact that we can hear God. The fact that makes prayer powerful and that makes communication meaningful is the fact that the God of the universe, the creator God, that at the snap of his fingers can create and destroy, that God listens to you. Listens to everybody, whether they believe in him or not. That's crazy to me. So how do we speak to God, though? You know, I could talk about that as a whole nother message. And if you ever want to read a good book on that, there's a book by a guy named Walter Wangerin called Whole Prayer. And he talks about all this thing about we speak, God listens, God speaks, we listen. Awesome book. If you want, I will buy you a copy so that you can get closer with God. But let's talk about how do we speak to God and how can you guys get a chance in your small groups to unpack this a little bit more. So in the next 5 weeks, you're going to learn this acronym that we're going to keep saying over and over again, and it's called ACTS prayers, right? ACTS prayers, not A-X-E, right? We're not like, oh yeah, I pray, you know? A-C-T-S, not from the book of Acts, but it's an acronym, which means that every letter has a meaning. So ACTS prayer is a way of approaching prayer where these four, like, words we're going to go through make up your prayer in some way. The first one that we're going to talk about tonight is adoration. Adoration means to praise God. To praise God. We're going to unpack that in a second. The second one is confession, where you share to God, here's the things I'm screwing up with. Here's the things I need help with. The third one is thanksgiving. Similar to praise, except now you're thanking God for things that he's doing in your life. And the fourth one is a word that's a little bit harder, but it's the word supplication, which basically means requests or please. That's the time when you go, God, I would really like it if you gave me $20 so I could go buy this t-shirt. And you're like, that's a lame prayer. Yeah, we pray that all the time. You know, God, this person's hurting. Can you do this? That's when you make requests to God. So the thing is most people, when they pray, if you pray in a whole manner, in a manner that tries to pray and communicate with God in fullness, you will usually cover one of those four things. The hard part is we don't always learn that. But to learn those four pieces is huge, and that's what we're going to go through for the next 5 weeks. Tonight, we're going to talk about adoration. What is adoration? Adoration is to praise God for who he is. To praise God for how you have known him, where you acknowledge things about him that are true, and you acknowledge things that you've experienced. So you say, this word that I say about you is true. I believe it's a reality. Part of the reason I believe that is because I've experienced it. People that have been saved from deep amounts of sin will talk about God's mercy a lot more than people who haven't. People that feel like they have been saved and protected by God will talk more about God as their protector than other people will. Because what happens is as you experience God and as you learn things about God, you will praise and you will share these things about God. You will acknowledge these things. One guy says it this way. He says, people have a hard time with prayer because they're unsure about who God is and what he's like. You guys, part of the reason it's hard for us to pray sometimes is because we don't know who we're praying to. So part of it is still trying to figure out who is God to me. And you're going to talk about that in your small groups. When I was working on this, I was thinking about the fact that often when I go on people's Facebook pages, I'll see somebody posted a picture and then you'll see that they have like 14 comments. And anytime somebody has a lot of comments, I'm interested to know what everyone's commenting on. So I go on and often I see these comments where somebody will like have a picture and people will go on and they'll talk about that person. You know, they'll rate the person or they'll just say, hey, I don't know you very well, but you're a pretty cool person. I like that you're cute and you're like really cool and you're really nice and I see you're really kind. And I see people that they start writing these words of admiration to one another on Facebook, right? They see a person, whether they're really close with them or they're just on the surface, and they'll start sharing things. Right? And it's not always lovey-dovey. I mean, sometimes it's girls flirting with guys and guys flirting with girls where they're like, you are the hottest chick I know, you know, blah, 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 you know, and they're doing the, like, picture. Self-absorptionese, remember? That's what we call them. Self-absorptionese, yes, yeah. So, you know, you have people respond to these things, and what they're doing is often people are posting something or they're writing something based on their experience and what they know of a person. You're going to do this in your small groups a little bit. You're going to talk to each other about taking a person that you know, a human person, and going, how would I describe that person? How would I talk about that person, right? But adoration of God, you guys, is saying, what do I think about God? What would I say about God? And we're actually going to do this here right now, just for a second. So this is almost going to be like a moment of group prayer here, because this is what I want you to do. I'm just simply going to say the words, God, you are, and I want you to start saying words on how you would describe or term God, according to what you know of him, according to how you've experienced him, or any of that. So if I say, God, you are, who's going to be the first one? Say it out loud. Forgiving. One at a time. Forgiving. Raise your hand. That way I can do it that way. Cody. Awesome. Steadfast. Everything.
Merciful.
Sorry. Connor. Protector. Protector, that was yours. Good.
Beautiful.
Who else? God, you are. Justin. Glorifying. My father. Loving. Healer. Kind of. Best friend. Perfect. God, you are.
Holy.
My savior. Graceful. Indescribable. God, you are. Sorry, I thought you were raising your hand.
Uncontainable.
Powerful.
Majestic.
What was that? My friend.
My daddy.
That was yours too. See, you guys, we could sit here, and if you really sat and thought about it and went, who is God to me? Adoration is you simply saying those words, who God is. Now, the thing is that right now you guys did that as an answer to me. Praying in adoration is simply you doing what you just did as you talk to God. It's you driving home with the music off. It's you sitting in your room when you're getting ready to go to bed and just saying those words that you guys just set out and saying that to God. You're my daddy. You're my friend. You're my savior. You're my protector. That's adoration, you guys. Let me give you one of the best examples of it in the Bible. Okay, check this out, because I'm going to get excited about this. This is one of my favorite psalms. It's a song all about adoring God. Check this out. Psalm 145. This is in the Message translation. I lift you high in praise, my God, O my King, and I'll bless your name into eternity. I will bless you every day and keep it up from now to eternity. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to his greatness. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Your beauty and your splendor have everybody talking. I write songs on your wonders. Your marvelous doings are at the top of my news post. I could write a Twitter full of the details of your greatness. The fame of your goodness spreads across the country. Your righteousness is on everyone's lips. God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger. He is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does is filled with grace. Creation and creatures applaud you, God. Your holy people bless you. They talk about the glories of your rule. They exclaim over your splendor, letting the world know of your power for good, the lavish splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom eternal. You never get voted out of office. God always does what he says and is gracious in everything he does. God gives a hand to those who are down on their luck. He gives a fresh start to those who are ready to quit. All eyes are on you, expectant. You give them their meals on time. Generous to a fault, you lavish your favor on all creatures. Everything God does is right. The trademark on all his works is love. God's there, listening for all who pray. For all who pray and mean it. Let me read that one again. God's there, listening for all who pray. For all who talk to him and mean it. He does what's best for those who fear him. He hears their call and saves them. God sticks by all who love him. But it's all over for those who don't. My mouth is filled with God's praise. Let everything living bless him. Bless his holy name from now until eternity. That's a guy that knows how to adore God. That's a guy that you can't shut him up about how awesome he thinks God is. That's somebody that's going to God and they're speaking in adoration. They recognize who he is. And when you recognize who God is, that's when you can honor him. That's when you can follow him. That's when you can trust him. And that's when you're going to find it easier to pray to him. Because when you know those things about God, then you know that you actually have no right to address him. That you don't deserve it. God has the right, because of who we are and the stuff we do, to crush us. And yet God says, no, come up to me like a child. And speak to me, and I want to speak to you. Last thing, and then you'll head out in your small groups. One of the best pictures of prayer that you get in the Bible that comes right from Jesus' mouth is what we call the Lord's Prayer. It comes in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 7. A lot of you guys know it because you learn it growing up. I mean, they make even little stuffed animal bears that like say it in creepy voices. My sister used to have one of those for our first, like my first nephew. It's like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. I was like, that's a demonic bear, right? But here's how it goes, you guys. The first part of the Lord's Prayer, and within this 5 weeks, you're going to go through all parts of it. The first part of the Lord's Prayer starts by showing you how to adore God. It shows you how to praise God because it starts by saying three specific phrases. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Those three things are all things about praise. Because when you say God is your Father, or like for instance, Ali used the word my daddy, my papa, right? When we say God, you are Father, you are saying terms that means that God is personal and God is near. You are talking about a God that when you talk about Father, you're talking about the person that brought you into being. This is the person that started your existence, and they are the beginning and the completion of your life. This is the person that if you're the son of the Father, you will inherit everything that is the Father's. You get to approach him like a child approaches the Father. And you have a Father that even when you screw up, Scripture makes it really clear that he's the Father that will embrace the prodigal son. That despite how much evil you can do, when you start walking back, God runs back to you. That's part of the picture you get with Father. This is the God that is faithful as Father. The God that will never fail you. I know a lot of you guys, your relationships with your dads may not be great. They may have failed you and your family. They may have been unfaithful. This is a Father who is purely and always faithful and will never fail you. To say, our Father, you are saying powerful, meaningful words about God. To say that he is in heaven, well, now you're switching gears and you're saying he is apart from us and he is beyond us. Because he's spirit, he's God. He's working on a level that we can't imagine. He sees way more than we ever can see. Heaven, back then, you guys, was viewed as a place of activity and authority. And so when we say, God, you are in heaven, you're saying, no, you're in charge. You're in the place where things are in charge. You're in the place where powerful things happen. And yet it should comfort you that even when God is working from there, he's working with you because of his care about you. And then the last part, when we say holy is your name, you are basically saying, God, show us how perfect and different from us you are. Have you guys ever thought about that? God is not you. God is not human. God is different from us. He is set apart. And when you say, God, you are holy, you are saying, God, I want you to show me that although you're a father that's near and loving, you are way different. And yet I get to know your name. Because when we say holy is your name, you get to know the name of the God that is different and set apart and yet is our Father. And yet works from power in heaven. So you guys, there's two ways communication goes on in prayer. We talked about the four things. We speak, God listens. God speaks, we listen. And then you have the ways that we get to speak. And that's the acts, prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. So you guys are going to go off in your small groups and you're going to talk about this. Break it down. We're getting you guys out late, so move quickly with your staff and head out to your small groups. Don't get water. Try not to go to the bathroom just yet. Head out with your leaders. Seniors, you're going with Daniel Roberts.